You'll find an authorized version of the Holy Scriptures before you in the pew. Pick it up and turn with me to the third gospel, the third book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and then we come to Luke. And we're reading tonight at the 15th chapter of Luke's gospel, and at the verse 11 to verse 32. And he, that is our Lord Jesus Christ, said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Though these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never givest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, I was killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, Thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. And God shall bless this reading from his own infallible book with his own infallible blessing. Amen and amen. The effect and the result of temporal things changing. So what you do in time marks what will happen in eternity. As I read my Bible, I learn that mortal man can change what lies before him beyond death in eternity. The Bible records certain matters concerning men who turn in time. First of all, the Bible speaks about turning aside. Here is a turning which everyone in this service engages in, and which can have eternal repercussions. One day there was a shepherd in the wilderness. He was a very lonely man. He had been cut off from his father's house and from his mother's kindred. The darkness of separation and his loneliness lay heavy upon his heart and upon his soul and upon his spirit. But suddenly, he was strangely and strongly attracted to a bush that beside the sheep's track where he trod was burning with fire. But the amazing thing was this, that although the bush burned with fire, it was not consumed. And that lonely shepherd stopped. He gazed. He wondered at this unusual happening. And then he said these words, I will turn aside and see this sight, the bush burning, but not consumed. That turning aside had repercussions for all eternity. If Moses had not turned aside, history would have been changed, and eternity for Moses and for the Jewish nation would have been extremely different. There would have been no molding of the destiny of the Jewish people and no birth of Christ into that nation. What would have happened if Moses had not turned aside is unthinkable. What would have happened in eternity if Moses had not turned aside is unthinkable. Unceasing darkness would have encased the whole world, and this world would never have seen the light forever. It is unbearable to try to imagine what time and eternity would have been like. Moses turning aside was for the eternal bettering of the future, both of time and eternity. Just a few feet of earth passed over. The distance between the sheep's track and where the burning bush was. You see, the turning aside was the fulcrum upon which time and eternity depended. Do not despise time, for time is the opportunity that comes, but when it goes, it returns no more. Take, for example, another man in Scripture, Samson. What do we read about him? He went to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her, Judges 16:1. He turned aside to the harlot's house. That was the furtherance to an end of shame, disaster, and eternal death. Although by God's mighty grace, it was transformed into a mighty victory. What a relief that Paul, by the Holy Spirit, when he wrote the 11th chapter of Hebrews, assured us that Samson was restored. And he was a partaker of saving faith. And tonight he shares a hero's welcome in God's great house of blessing. Think of it, if we had not had those few lines from the Apostle Paul, there would have been many preachers, hasty preachers, who are so ready to condemn people to hell. And are so quick to judge people. It's not my business to be quick to judge people or to condemn people. It is my duty as a gospel minister to save souls. Christ said, I came not into the world to condemn the world, but the world through me might be saved. Peter left no doubt about it. He said that Lot, with all his evil doing, Lot was a Christian. He was righteous through the righteousness of Christ. This is my hope, that I am righteous through the righteousness of Christ alone. But if you look at the Bible again, you will find there's not only a turning aside mentioned, but there's a turning away mentioned. 2 Peter 4:4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. This action indicates and emphasizes a change of direction. Turning away suggests a forsaking, a farewelling, and a repudiation. This will be the characterization of every sin of an age of apostasy. There will be a turning away. Paul warned his young friend Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 4. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. Here we have the truth of God replaced by the fables of men. From the heights of wisdom to the depths of lying fables, the turning aside directs. The uncircumcised ear leads to uncircumcised living. Turning away leads to the rejection of sound doctrine and the embracing of unsound doctrine. It replaces love with lust. It sends the deceived soul to school where every teacher has an itching ear against God, against truth, and against the gospel. The dark end is the total blotting out of the truth and the total blocking of the deluded soul into the prison of hell, the darkest prison of hell forevermore. This turning away is damnation to the soul and darkness to the soul forevermore. Solemn warnings are uttered by God, calling us to resist with all our might the sinful, ruinous, and damning practice to turn away from God's truth. Take up the Bible. Read the sad story of the nation of Israel, who turned away to death, destruction, and to damnation and hell. In Numbers chapter 32, verses 10 to 5, the Lord issued a solemn warning and said the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he swore, saying, surely none of the men that came out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. See if Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until a whole generation was wiped out, and not one of them that left Egypt, that was over 20, ever set a foot in the promised land. Because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord, they were consumed. And to reinforce that, Joshua, when he came to the end of his ministry, he said, thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, what trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel, to turn away this day from following the Lord, in that ye have builded an altar that ye might rebel this day against the Lord? Is the iniquity of Peor too little for us, from which we are not cleansed until this day, although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord? But that ye must turn away this day from following the Lord, and it will be, seeing ye rebel today against the Lord, that tomorrow he will be wroth with the whole congregation. There is judgment for those that turn away. 2 Chronicles 7:19 to 22. And if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, I will pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them. And this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. Pen! At least a millennium before the anger of God struck down the temple at Jerusalem. God hates this turning away, and he will certainly kindle his fiercest fires of judgment against those who turn away from his truth. It is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. This iniquity not only brings changes here, but it brings changes in eternity. It is eternal truth that eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, what God has prepared for those that love Him. But the opposite is true as well. It is also true that eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man what God hath prepared for those who disobey Him. After death, the judgment. From Adam to his youngest heir, not one shall escape the muster roll. Each, if he alone were there, as if he alone were there, shall stand to win or lose their own soul. These from the judge's presence go down to the everlasting woe. Vengeance has barred the fates of hell. The scenes within no tongue can tell. There's another turning in the Bible. It's the turning back. Galatians 4, 8 and 9. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did serve as unto them which by nature are no gods. But now after ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage. What a sad and grievous reading this makes. The professing Christian turning away to the beggarly elements of the world. Yes, and how beggarly those elements can be. We were reading the story of the prodigal son. He learned that in a hard school. He made choice of the beggarly elements, and he soon became a beggar. He soon began to be in want. He enlisted in a piggery, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He was a hungry beggar. What a scene. The day of yesterday for him was a yesterday of plenty in his father's house. But today is a day of poverty as he sits the sow's trough. And tomorrow will be the day of despair. To remain turned aside would be utter folly. The prodigal must do something. He must escape from the hole that he himself has dug for himself by turning back again to the Father's house. There's only one thing he can do, and that is to return. Returning alone can reverse the turning back. When he left home, we read he gathered all that he owned together and took all his possessions with him. Now coming home, he has nothing to gather. He has lost everything. He has wasted the lot. In the casinos of the far country, he became a pauper, robbed of his purse. In the company of harlots, he lost his purity. He lost his cleanness and uprightness. And when he came to himself looking back over the road along which he had traveled, he saw again his father's house. It was still marked with plenty and to spare. Even the servants, the hired servants, had everything they wanted. As he pondered on his plight, he cried, "I perish with hunger." And then he made a resolve that he would reverse his folly. He would return home. Home, sweet home. His determination was unassailable. Luke 15, 19 to 24. He said, "I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, the father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on. Put a ring on his hand. Put shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf. Kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. What a climax. The same climax can be yours. How different both in time and eternity that would be. You have the power to change your eternity. Instead of hell, you can have heaven. Instead of death, you can have life. Instead of punishment, you can have pardon. Instead of judgment upon sin, you can find atonement for your sin. How different time and eternity could be for you if you take Christ as your Savior. But if you persist and refuse to turn back from the beggarly elements of this old sinful world, then your eternity will not be everlasting life, but everlasting torment. Abandon every hope, all ye that enter. These words in somber colors I beheld, inscribed upon the summit of its portal, their signs and groans and lamentable wailings so rang throughout the regions without star. Horrible tongues, discordant languages, words full of dolor, accents of sharp anger, shrill, hoarse voices, sounds of smitten hands, rise in wild comment, echoing through the gloom, like sands before the whirlwind of the desert. One last word. In Joel chapter 2:13, there is a turning to. Rend your heart and not your garments. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Let us come finally to the emphasis positively on God's salvation, turning to the Lord. The prophet Joel sets forth in beautiful simplicity the way of turning to the Lord. Hypocrisy works in the way outside to the inside. True religion works from the inside to the outside. There is not a rendering of garments needed, but a rendering of your heart. The heart must be broken. The question of sin must be faced. This means an acknowledgement of the one true and holy God. The God which you address is a special being as far as you are concerned. The Lord your God, the only true and living God, you must trust Him only. You must rely and put your faith in His grace. What is grace? Grace is God's free favor. It is His absolutely unfettered love, set absolutely free and made to triumph over all your sins and wickedness. You must rely and put your faith in God's mercy. Only God's mercy can save you. It is not your righteousness can save you, but His mercy. Sinner, could I say to you tonight, there's mercy with the Lord. You must rely and put your faith in the slowness of His anger. Anger is the strange work of God. Isaiah tells us in 28:21, "For the Lord will rise up in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth in the valley of Gibeon, that He may do His work, His strange work, and bring to pass His strange act." If God was quick tonight to mark iniquity, not one person in this church would stand. You must rely and put your faith in God's great kindness. God is kind. His loving kindness is His attitude towards all those that humbly seek His face. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You must rely and put your faith in His changing of heart toward you, a seeking and penitent soul. You must rely and put your faith that He will leave a blessing behind Him, applying the precious blood to your heart and soul. It was Horatius Bonner, the great Presbyterian minister in Scotland in the Victoria era, wrote the words, "Thy wounds, not mine, O Christ, can heal the bruised soul. Thy stripes, not mine, contain the balm that make me whole. Thy blood, not mine, O Christ, Thy blood so freely spilt, can blanch my blackest stains and purge away my guilt. Thy cross, not mine, O Christ, has borne the awful load of sins that none in heaven or earth could bear but God. Thy death, not mine, O Christ, has paid the ransom due. 10,000 deaths like mine would have been all too few. Thy righteousness, O Christ, alone can cover me. No righteousness avails, save that which is from Thee. Thy righteousness alone can clothe and beautify. I wrap it round my soul. In this I live, and in this I'll die." Wrap the righteousness of Christ around you. Trust in no work of your own, but in the work that Jesus wrought for you on the cruel cross. Look and live. There's life for a look at the crucified one. There is life at that moment, at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto Him and be saved, unto Him who was nailed to the tree. That will change you in time, and that will change you for all eternity, and change eternity for you. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the gospel, for its plainness and its simplicity. And we thank Thee, Father, that Thou dost love us, even though we have sinned and walked in evil ways. And we thank Thee, Lord Jesus, that Thou hast died for us upon that cross of shame. Guilty, vile, and helpless we. Spotless Son of God was He. Full atonement cannot be. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Speak loudly into every sinner's heart tonight. And may there be a response to the gospel invitation. May men and women and boys and girls come and be saved by Thy grace alone. Separate us now with Thy blessing, and as we sit around Thy table, may Thy banner over us be love for Jesus' sake. And everybody said, Amen.